Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of PastorStudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. I didn't think this would happen in my lifetime, but Roe versus Wade, 64 million unborn babies killed since 1973, has finally been overthrown. I'm amazed. I praise God for this. But have you noticed now how ugly things are? It's even ugly in the church. I'm a Lutheran. All Lutheran denominations are pro-life, except the one big liberal one, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. When it was discovered that maybe Roe versus Wade was going to be overthrown, the head bishop of the ELCA, a representative from the Presbyterian Church USA, the United Church of Christ, and the United Methodists, they all went to Washington, to the White House, to stand up for abortion rights. And these are church leaders? All six Wisconsin bishops of the ELCA stood up in favor of abortion rights when this was going on. And I'm not making this up. Here is are the words of one ELCA Lutheran pastor. Quote, "I love abortion because abortion is health care. Any reason someone needs or wants an abortion is a good reason. You don't have to justify it to me or anyone. Free abortion, accessible to all, on demand, without apology, none." And the Presbyterian Church USA, the United Church of Christ, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, and the Episcopal Church, all these denominations pay for abortions with offering dollars in the church's health care plan. I can't give money to those denominations. So, and do you understand this? That all denominations were against abortion until the 1960s. And then came the sexual revolution, and churches start to compromise. I think the first one that compromised was the Episcopal Church in 1967, and then the United Church of Christ in 1969. So, God forgive the church. I want to introduce our guest, Brian Gibson. Hi, Brian. And let me tell you why I love this guy. He has, along with lots of people around the country, been working for the overthrow of Roe versus Wade and for working in favor of protecting unborn children from being torn apart in their mother's womb. In fact, by my house is a new Planned Parenthood abortion clinic. 2 minutes from my house. I feel like I'm driving by a little Auschwitz every day. But Brian and his pro-life action ministry people are in front of that place praying for abortion to end, handing literature to mothers as they go in to abort their babies. So, Brian, thank you for all your work.
You're welcome.
And how many years have you been doing this?
Well, the ministry's been around for 41 years, a little more than that. And I got involved in the summer of 1981, so more than 41 years.
Wow.
Myself. Volunteer at first, and then I was the first full-time hire in 1986.
And I stop so, and the other day I stopped and I prayed for the people. I stopped and got out of the car. I said, thank you for picketing this clinic. And nobody yells anything. Nobody is being strident. You're just there praying and handing out literature. Have you ever turned a woman around?
Thousands of times. So
really?
We call it sidewalk counseling. When we're on the sidewalk outside an abortion facility, and what we're doing is we're offering the love of God and the wealth of help that's available in the pro-life movement as well as in the churches to the young women that are going in for scheduled abortion appointments. And we document the babies that are saved with a very strict and strong criteria for that documentation. And it's been almost 3,600 babies over the years.
And that's just your group.
Right, that's just
our
group.
And there are groups all over the country
all over
doing
the United
this kind
States,
of work.
Yes.
And very few of them are the ridiculous screaming at people.
There are very few. Well, if they're doing authentic sidewalk counseling, they would never be doing that. There are some who do this. Usually it's a situation where they've just realized how bad abortion is. They're maybe either new in the church, new to coming to Christ, or they just, the revelation of the reality here has finally dawned upon them at how bad abortion is, and they don't have guidance going out, and they go out on their own, and and sometimes in their the anger or the rage over the fact that they're killing children overwhelms what they're saying and doing. But we were, you know, we have that show up where we're at from time to time, and we just work with them. We get them to understand what to really do.
All right. When I introed, I talked about the horrors of liberal Protestants just caving on this issue and being on the wrong side. I want to say there's lots of Baptists, evangelicals, Lutherans, there's lots of people, too, that are very, very pro-life. All right, now I'm going to ask you the question.
You're and a Catholic or two as
okay,
well.
Okay, you're a Catholic. And so here's what I'm going to ask. Catholic, God bless them, is very strong on the pro-life message. Are there pro-choice, pro-abortion rights Catholics?
Yes. I guess I have to say yes to that. Technically, yes, they're Catholic because they've come into the Catholic Church the way the Catholic Church brings people
like
into the church.
So. Like the President of the United States, like
Nancy Pelosi others as well.
Now,
yes.
And you know, when I read of a Catholic bishop who is threatening to not give Holy Communion to Nancy Pelosi, that does my heart good. I think, good for that bishop. Are any bishops, I mean, we hear about the rhetoric and the threat, are any of them actually doing it?
Well, her bishop in San Francisco is Archbishop Cordeleone, and he has barred her from coming to Holy Communion within his territory.
But when she goes to Washington, she can probably get it. Am I right?
Unfortunately, or even Rome for that matter.
Really?
Well, she did recently.
Ooh.
So, yes.
Where is the current Pope on all this?
Well, he makes statements where it's not clear in understanding exactly where he's at.
Yeah.
And when he talks about abortion, he's as clear and as strong when he talks about abortion itself as any good pro-life person would be. He's outstanding. But then when it comes to the issue of
discipline,
allowing communion and so forth, it becomes unclear.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so let me ask you this. Here's the headline from today's newspaper in Minnesota that some judge has now gotten rid of the abortion restrictions that pro-lifers have worked on for years. And they were just minor restrictions, and this liberal judge now has gotten rid of all of them in Minnesota. And they have to be appealed, but we've got a liberal attorney general who might not appeal it. So can you, and I know we're being seen all over the country, but just real quick for the Minnesotans, what happened?
Well, this case was brought 3 years ago by a group of attorneys called Gender Justice. You can run with that in your mind from there. And they simply perceive that there should be no restrictions to abortion whatsoever. There's another group that's involved that's also called Unrestrict Minnesota. They are the kind of the impetus behind all this, where they simply don't believe that there should be anything related to abortion in law whatsoever.
So what got knocked down?
Well, we no longer require that it be a licensed physician
doing
that
the
commits the abortion.
Wow.
Okay. And it's unclear as to who can now, because we have no regulations on abortion facilities. There's no licensing. Parental notice has been taken away, so minor girls can have abortions without mom or dad knowing about it.
They can't get an aspirin, but they can get an abortion
absolutely.
Without mom and dad.
Yep, absolutely.
My.
24-hour waiting period, informed consent that the woman is given information about the unborn child, about help that might be available instead of,
this is sick.
See, what else did he take down? Those are the core ones.
So I want to say that if you're seeing this in Minnesota, pray for our state. Yeah. You know, Brian, we have a very pro-abortion governor who said something to the effect that even Nancy Pelosi asked me to tone down my abortion rights rhetoric. So he's very pro-abortion. And so pray for pro-life legislators. But what states are the most pro-abortion in the United States?
Well,
New York.
Well, states that allow for abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy for any reason and then paid for by public dollars on top of it, there's a whole bunch of them.
Including
Minnesota. So you've got New York, you've got California, Oregon, Washington, Minnesota, that are at that Illinois, that are at that level, for sure. There might be a couple others that are at that level. I'm not 100% certain on all the states. Then you've got Nevada, Colorado. We've got most of the northeastern United States states that all are a free-for-all for abortion
as
well.
What states are most conservative against abortion?
Well, Texas.
Louisiana.
Louisiana. We have Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi.
South Dakota.
North Dakota. States like
Wisconsin?
That. Well, Wisconsin is more conservative, but I wouldn't put it as conservative when it comes to abortion as these others.
Okay.
They're actually falling back to a state law that existed before Roe v. Wade.
Right.
So the current governor and the current attorney general in Wisconsin want abortion on demand.
Okay.
But we'll see how that plays out. But their legislature's conservative.
And now we've got Minnesota being one of the most liberal states in the country in this, and we've got people in South Dakota and Wisconsin that are going to be coming here to get their abortions.
And North Dakota.
And North Dakota is conservative.
Yeah.
All right, so my question is, the judge that knocked down our tiny restrictions was arguing from the state constitution that he says guarantees a woman the right to abortion.
Right.
And that was the Gomez decision in the 1990s. How do we overthrow that in Minnesota?
Well, it's going to take a lot of hard work. One certain way to overthrow it would be a constitutional amendment, and that's been bantered around since 1995 when the Doe v. Gomez case came out. So, what would it take to do that? It's a lot of work. We need to win the hearts and minds of the people,
and we need
to change out legislatures and
judges.
Governors and judges.
Who appoints the Supreme Court?
Well.
Of Minnesota.
Well, Minnesota Constitution allows for elections for all judicial positions, but what ends up happening is that they get appointed by the governor because most often they will retire or they will leave the bench before there's an election. In between elections, governor gets to appoint the person.
Uh-huh.
Now, when the election comes up, it says incumbent after their name.
Okay.
And since nobody knows who anybody is who's running for a judgeship.
Okay.
They always vote for the incumbent because it seems easy to do, right?
Know.
So that's one of the, again, another very difficult thing. The job is huge. And now we're an epicenter for abortion in the upper Midwest, just like Illinois is for the Midwest, New York is for the East, California for the West. And people are being marketed to, women are being marketed to come to our state to have abortions.
Well, it doesn't help that we've got such horribly liberal newspapers like the Star Tribune.
Well, they're part of the marketing scheme.
And so here's my question. I think the media bias in favor of abortion is so clear. And for instance, years ago, at the Robbinsdale Women's Clinic, Abortion Clinic here in Minnesota, mm-hmm. you found a bunch of aborted fetuses in the dumpster. Which
right.
I think was illegal, wasn't it? Didn't they have to be given proper burial?
Not at that time.
Okay.
The law that required the dignified burial came because of that incident.
Okay. So here,
but it was illegal by EPA standards and by medical waste standards and all those other things.
So here's the bias.
Yeah.
I saw on one TV station something like fetus is found in dumpster at abortion clinic. On the other channel, it was. Anti-abortion group tries new tactic. So once I was part of a pro-life thing, under my face they put anti-choice activist, and under the pro-abortion, pro-choice activist. I mean, the way they load the camp, here's my question for you, though. Something I've been hearing in the media now that I think really shows their hand, they talk about abortion care.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that make it sound nice? Abortion care. Is
we
that new?
To.
I don't remember hearing that
before. It's new in the past 5 or 6 years, I think, is getting a lot of traction. The Planned Parenthood drives a lot of this messaging, and because they're national and they're big. They're the biggest one out there, right? So a large number of the abortions, the majority of abortions are done in a Planned Parenthood center somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Minnesota, in St. Paul, we have the highest volume Planned Parenthood abortion facility in the nation.
Say that again?
The highest volume abortion facility Planned Parenthood has in the nation is in St. Paul, Minnesota. They did, in 2020, they did almost 7,500 abortions by their own reports. And in 2021, they did about less than 7,200, about 71 plus in 1 year,
again,
each of those
again,
years.
Again, every day now, yeah. I have to drive by the Planned Parenthood Abortion Clinic, and I pray. I just pray. You know, let me take some time now and to literally play the devil's advocate.
Okay.
I'm going to throw out what people who are pro-abortion say, and then you respond how you think we should respond. Okay, number one, my body, my choice. Who are you to tell me what I do with my body? How do you respond?
Well, you're right. I don't tell you what to do with your body, but there is another body involved, a human being.
A second body.
And that child, that unborn child, is a living human being, and that is a separate body altogether.
Separate brainwaves, separate heart.
And so our concern is for that human life, but it's also for the woman. Mm-hmm. It's not for one or the other. We're not trying to pit mom against child.
Yeah.
Child against mom, that is not what we're about.
And if you have the abortion, right. I've talked to the women who 20 years later are still grieving that they did that. Let me ask you, give you another devil's advocate. How dare you as a Catholic impose your religion upon me? I'm glad you don't like abortion. I'm glad I like it. How can you tell me what to do?
Well, first of all, I'm really lousy imposing my religion on anyone. I don't even try. I might try to evangelize, but that's not imposition. That's inviting. But when it comes to the killing of innocent human beings, it's not a religious issue.
No, atheists could be against that.
Exactly. Now, it is a philosophical concept that... And all law is based on some sort of philosophy. So to claim that it's okay to kill these children by saying I'm for abortion, that's a philosophical position in and of itself. It's an ideology. Mm-hmm. In essence, a religion. Mm-hmm. How dare you impose your religion
irreligion.
On 64 million
Amen.
Babies?
Amen. How about this one, Brian? Jesus never said anything about abortion. Why are you preaching like this?
Because he told us to love one another. He told us to love our brothers and sisters with the love that he shows. Abortion was non-existent in Palestine in his day as he walked the earth. Now, it existed in the Roman Empire outside of that area, but it would have been just unthinkable that abortion would take place for a Jew within Palestine in that era. So that's why there's no words out of his mouth directly about it.
Well,
but what he talks about, who we are to be, how we are to treat one another, and then especially if you go from what Jesus says himself to what comes out of the Old Testament, the scriptures that help testify to who Jesus is, when we go to those, we find we are to care for the widows and the orphans, that we have an obligation. It's a duty that goes beyond our requirement to work and so forth, which is very high, of course, in obligation. You know, we are to deal with injustices. And this is the greatest injustice that's ever been in the world.
And I think, too, I would add, Jesus did say, thou shalt not kill.
Yes.
Those words came out of Jesus' mouth.
Yes.
When, you know, how about this one, John? Another one, Brian. Well, it's not a really human being until it takes its first breath. What do you say to that?
Well, that's absolutely irresponsible to say because it's so unscientific. You know, so the basis of understanding when human life begins is no longer a matter of religious or philosophical thought.
Mm-hmm.
It actually now is proven science. So I actually listened to this one scientist talk about it who is an embryologist at the University of Utah, and she talked about this amazing reality of when human life begins. Again, we're talking pure science. This is empirical, proven science, and it's irrefuted, by the way. So this is solid ground. And she talked about how at that moment when the sperm penetrates into the egg, that within 2 milliseconds, can't breathe that fast, right? Within 2 milliseconds, the entire cell is completely transformed from being an egg and being a separate sperm into a new human life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Human life begins at that very
moment. And that's the science.
And it's all pure science.
So
if we're going to say we're all about science, which many pro-abortion people say they are, Well, yeah. The science is this is a human being. Now, philosophy is going to get us to where we start talking about whether this is a person and whether we protect human beings right. or not.
Let's ask this question. Some of these pro-abortion liberal Protestants would say, well, the Bible really doesn't deal with abortion. What would you say to that?
Well, it does directly. When we talk about what happened, again, in the Old Testament, we're talking about the commandments to deal with somebody who has killed an unborn child.
Yeah. Yeah,
and what the punishments would be for that,
yeah.
and whether it would be, you know, whether the severity of the punishment would be because it's an intentional killing, or if it's it's manslaughter caused by mm-hmm. a miscarriage that happens because of an unintended consequence.
And I would say to anybody yeah. who's a Christian watching this show, if you don't think the Bible talks against abortion, read Psalm 139. Mm. There's no way around that one. Or read Luke chapters 1 and 2, where the unborn John the Baptist inside of Elizabeth walks into the room where the unborn Jesus Christ is inside of Mary, and the babe in her womb leaped for joy. And it says that John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. So to say yeah. that these aren't babies yeah. Yeah. until they take a breath, that's ridiculous.
Yes. Well, it is. It is. And yeah. But, you know, from the pro-abortion side of things, if you're trying to argue that abortion is always okay mm-hmm. for all circumstances, which is the essence of the argument, then you have to start making claims like that, or else you have...
Yeah,
you
have to dehumanize right. the unborn right. baby to feel comfortable yeah. killing it.
Now, remember, in our country, we had a time where we said that living already born human beings were not fully persons, and therefore they could be enslaved mm-hmm. and even killed
right.
without any consequences.
Right. And so the way that Nazis justified killing the Jews is, well, they're subhuman.
Right.
The way we justify killing the unborn, well, they're not really human. This is the way we've got a tap dance to get around our conscience. Let me ask you another question here. Maybe somebody watching this show has had an abortion. Mm-hmm. And they are, I mean, I remember the lady that said to me, this has been haunting me all these years, and I pronounce the forgiveness of sins, and I believe that she's forgiven and going to heaven, etc. But sometimes you really need to get some help to believe that. Are there some groups you could recommend?
Absolutely. So I'm going to just give two really brief, but there are dozens of them across the United States. There's Rachel's Vineyard, which is nationwide, doing amazing work, and they work cross denominationally. So
and
this
you
is
go on
not
a
specific.
Retreat? Is that what you
they
do?
They do retreat method is their okay. way of doing it. And then there's Rich in Mercy, mm-hmm. which also is a very good from a
the first
Pentecostal
one,
kind of
and
point
the first
of view.
Way is more Catholic.
A little more Catholic, but okay. both of them will work
yes.
cross denominationally.
Yes.
You know, the Care for All Christians is involved, but it's Care for All People.
Okay.
Even if you're not of any denomination, you can attend these.
Yeah.
But I'd also say to the woman who's post-abortive, the love of God is greater than
your sin.
The mercy of God is readily available through repentance mm-hmm. and the forgiveness that comes from God.
Amen.
Readily available. And I would say to the church, to all those who may think poorly of women who have had abortions, we are the ones that are supposed to bring the mercy of God.
Amen.
We're the ambassadors for
yep.
Christ,
yep.
Paul said. We are to bring that mercy
yep.
readily. Reconciliation with Christ is what we are to bring with absolute frequency
amen.
And quickness. So we need to do that.
And if I can just amen this, Brian, if there's anyone there out there that has had an abortion, if you are sorry for your sin and you will come to Christ and trust in Him, there is forgiveness. Receive that forgiveness from Christ, and then don't beat yourself up. Move on. But I also want to say, if you're considering an abortion or if you're still defending it, you really need to come before God and say, look, what I did was wrong. Would you forgive me? And if you're considering it, don't do it. I've talked to the women who are so sorry that they ever did this. Don't do that. Have the baby. Put it up for adoption. Keep it, whatever, but don't kill it. All right, so Brian, we've just got about 3 minutes left here. Tell me how somebody watching the show can support your ministry.
Oh, well, we have a website.
And put it on up if you would there.
PLAM.org.
PLAM.org.
Which is just short for Pro-Life Action Ministries.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go to our webpage, and you can learn all about what we do, from our sidewalk counseling to the large prayer vigils we do. Mm-hmm. And you can make a donation there if you'd like to, or get involved if you're yep. in any area where we're working. So
okay, and there's your phone number, too, if you yeah. need that.
Very good.
And so, Brian, thank you so much. And would you just pray? Would you take a moment, Brian,
yes.
and would you just say a prayer for anyone watching this show?
Almighty God and Father, you who are the Lord of life, the creator of all people, you have made us in your image and likeness. And not only that, you have given us salvation through your own Son, who also came and lived among us and was suffered among us and died for our sins and then rose again that we could all be free and be one with you. Lord, I ask that you would move in the hearts and the minds of the viewers right now, mm-hmm. that you would bring forgiveness where forgiveness is needed, that you would bring those who need to come to repentance to repentance,
yes, Lord.
That you would open hearts and minds to the Holy Spirit moving right now so that they would receive Christ fully, mm-hmm. whether they've received partially in the past, they would receive more fully now, mm-hmm. and that all would come to know your love and your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Brian, thank you so much. And you know, we've just got a minute and a half, and I've got to pontificate at the end here.
Okay.
Here's my pontificating, everybody. If you go to a church or a denomination that supports abortion, you really got to reconsider that. Do you want your offering dollars to go toward that? In the Presbyterian Church USA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the United Church of Christ, the Episcopal Church. I really encourage you, time to leave those denominations and join a biblical branch of Lutheranism, for instance. All the other Lutheran branches are biblical on this. And just if your pastor says Luther wasn't against abortion, let me just close by quoting Martin Luther from 1545. How great is the wickedness of human nature? How many girls there are who prevent conception and kill and expel tender fetuses, although procreation is the work of God. And then he ends by saying, he wrote a letter in 1544 about a woman who tried to get somebody to jump on her to induce the abortion, about how evil that is. Same thing with John Calvin. All the churches were against abortion until the 1960s. You need to be part of a church that's pro-life, where you can give your offering dollars without wondering if it's going to go kill a baby. So join us next time. We're going to ask you to go to our website, pastorstudy.org. If you want to see this show again, all of our TV shows you can see for free. Maybe you've got a friend that needs to see this show. Send them to pastorstudy.org. See you next time at the Pastor Study.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.